Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you give us together here in the portion of thy will. But folks, thank you for every blessing that you've given us this week. Be with us as we go through this service and everything we do. Be in accordance with thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Birthdays.
Give everybody an update on Brother Lee. As you know, he was operated only 2 weeks ago tomorrow. He had a twisted gut that caused him to have a bag put on his side. After a couple of days, he was still having trouble, so they ran him through a CT scan machine and found out that the bag they had put on him, the stuff that was supposed to be going on, it wasn't going in the bag. It was emptying his stomach, so he went through a spell where he was trying to vomit a lot. He aspirated on some of that stuff, so that got in his lungs. So during the next scan, they found he had a pocket of blood somewhere in his abdomen. That they call it a hematoma, I think. And they also found that he had a pocket of air that they didn't expect to find. So then they started addressing that problem. He was in a regular room the first few days, then he got moved to ICU. He was in there and they put a drain tube in and made that hematoma. And as of yesterday, he had another head scan and had it stirred up. So that's a major plus. He had bad, probably 6 or 7 days before he could hardly raise his head or open his eyes. Yesterday, he was doing much better. He was talking to his son. He would ask questions about the people at church and what was going on at church and he's going to have feelings. So he was remembering everything. So this morning, I got a text that a cat scan he had yesterday, his lungs is clear and his stomach is clear. So he's on the mend, thank goodness. So anyway, I just want to let y'all know about that. And if you have any questions, please ask them, because I'll try my best to answer it. I know there's some other people up there, and if they can answer any question you got. And I just want you to know the truth about what's going on with you. So hopefully he'll be back with us sometime. But he's got a long recovery, sure.
But he's been able.
Is he still in the room, David?
He's in ICU.
Yeah, he got moved back to ICU. Okay. And the reason I was told is because he was having so much trouble breathing.
Okay.
And Jennifer told me this morning that if you're on a record floor, they can give you up to 30%, I can hardly say this word, oxygen, I haven't said it. But anyway, it didn't seem to be enough for him. So they moved him back to ICU, which they could get him over, is what I was told. But Jennifer also said that they could force that in if he's in ICU. If he's on the regular room, that they don't do that.
Like high flow versus mm-hmm. high fat. Mm-hmm.
So that really helped. He was more awake, he was more calm. And yesterday, he was just having a good day, and I think Brad and Christian went up yesterday after I did it. So
we went up last night, he was awake, he was happy to see Daddy. He told me to tell everybody that he loved them, and he was really with it.
He told me one of the earlier days before he went back to the ICU the second time that he was just so appreciative that any of us cared enough to even come visit him.
Yeah, for sure.
She was with me one day, and we got ready to leave. I went over and you know, down was talking to him. I said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And he said, "Yes. Tell everybody I will."
Yeah, he
told us
that.
Yeah.
No, and two of Amy's kids had drove up and are with her now.
I think they got up last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, you guys have people staying with you about all the time now, basically. But anyway, that's all I can tell you. If you need to ask a question, then you'll do it.
I do know that Amy said they want to try to get him to rehab, but they're trying to work with him for eating, because right now he has a feeding tube in his nose, and he can't go to rehab with that. So,
yeah, that's swollen.
Right. He has to either be able to eat, or they'll have to put in a peg. But
yeah, and yesterday they told me that he had ate some quite a bit of applesauce.
Yeah, chicken.
And some other stuff that's kind of like applesauce.
Yogurt, I think.
Yogurt is one.
Yeah.
Collard and water.
He tried to drink, they tried to get him to drink chicken milk, and he wouldn't do that.
A long way.
But anyway,
it's a, they put this thickening agent in the milk to make it thicker, so they won't aspirate on it.
Yeah, so they can't suck it.
But it, I mean, it literally looks like
they can put that thickening
in
anything, but
yeah, it's gross. Yeah.
I think you would really like to eat some ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And not bring anybody back.
But anyway, just think about Brother Lee. I've asked Ron to play a song that I know Brother Lee used to sing a lot. Yeah, it's on the tape. So if you all would just listen to the words as he's playing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm only human, I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Help me today to do everything that I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, as you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving and crowding my mind. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Help me today to do everything that I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
Or we're going to try.
All right.
Hold it. 4:36. First and last verses of my country.
No, we're going to do 4:36. For communion.
Oh!
Yeah.
See, there you go.
4:36.
4:36.
Yes.
Communion. 4:36. No, we ain't got there yet.
We ain't got there yet.
But you got it.
Don't tell her that.
Many times it's perfect. There it is. Okay, let's go.
So much as we go through this life on earth, and we are grateful for everything that you do and provide for us. We want to ask you, we don't really want to ask you for anything more, Lord, but we do want to ask you to keep your hands on Brother Lee and just get him well and back with us. We know that he has got a lot of age and all that, but he's a tough old man, so we sure would like to have him back in this church. Lord, we want to thank you for your son, Jesus, and we understand that if it wasn't for him, we would live in darkness with no hope when our life here on earth is finished. But you provide us a way to have salvation and forgiveness, and we partake of these emblems to that remind us of what it took for us to have that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For this week that you've given us, and we thank you for looking after us these 250 years that we've been one nation under God. You've been so generous to us, Lord, and we thank you, and we're returning a small proportion of what you have given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
First and last verses of My Country to Thee.
4:67. And we all get to heaven. Let's do the same thing, first and last verse.
Day to gather in the house of the Lord to worship and praise Him. Is there any other prayer request that we need to be made aware of that's happened in the last week or so? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You today asking Your blessings, Lord. We pray that You would anoint the message, Lord. Let it be the word spoken that You had once spoken, Lord. Open up our eyes and our hearts and our ears so that we may be in a better and a closer relationship with You, Lord. Lord, we thank You for our nation. Lord, You have blessed it for over 250 years. And a big reason of You blessing it, Lord, is the church that prays to You for the nation. Lord, we pray that that would continue for another 250 years or more, or till You come. Lord, You know what's in our hearts and our minds. Lord, we just lift them up to You, knowing that You will answer it in Your will and Your time. Lord, we have a special prayer request, Lord. We lift up Brother Lee. Lord, we know that he is advanced years, but we also know he's got a lot to give us, Lord. He's got a lot of wisdom that he imparts on You. Lord, we pray for You remembrance of all that is dedicated to You, Lord, the lives that is changed, the work that is put in, Lord, the patience to further Your kingdom here on earth, Lord. We pray that You would bless him, restore him, Lord, and let him return to the church because he still has a lot of Your work here to do. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, the.
Excuse me, can we sign a card for Brother Lee? Yes, Christy, can you find this one sign for Brother Lee? Of course.
It may be a little bit different with the service, the order of it, because I'm not real versed in it. And so hopefully you guys will just follow along, and if we need to pray for me, just stop and pray for me, and we'll try to get through it. Nothing's worse than I woke up this morning, I thought I had a sermon put together about faith and laws and Abraham, and woke up this morning and it changed a little bit, so if you'll please bear with me. But I wanted to talk about Abraham. Abraham had faith, and that faith was granted to him as in righteousness. And sometimes we get confused about the law and about faith. And what would make a perfect person to invite to church? What would make that perfect person to invite to church? Sometimes as we walk our Christian faith, we kind of forget. We forget what it felt like when we first got saved. Because when we first got saved, it was all about faith and nothing about the law. And as we look, Abraham lived under the law because he made a promise of faith, that being of Jesus Christ when he came. And because Abraham was willing to sacrifice everything, he had faith that God would see him through. It was counted as righteousness, even though Christ hadn't come on the scene yet. And I think too often as we go and we walk, we try to be holy. And we should live a certain way. But what it does is when we start to think about being holy and living under the law, we're supposed to live with faith and not under the law. Because what the law does is if you say, I didn't break this law today, I didn't break that law today. You know, I didn't break any of these laws in 3 years. What's the common word there? I. And I has nothing to do with being saved. The only I in being saved is accepting the gift that Jesus has given, putting our trust and our faith in Him. Often we try to be holy and we get the wrong impression. We want to live the way that Jesus wants to live, and more focus we put on that, the more it points back towards us and not Him. There's nothing in the gospel that points to us and our salvation. And that's what the law was about. The law was about you could be good enough for salvation. And we all know that is wrong. And we looked in Ephesians. Have you ever thought about, before I got saved, I did this and I did that, and now look at how clean a life I live and how much God's laws I'm able to keep. With this comes, look at the perfect addition to the church. 2 children, great job, clean life, good life. Except that's not what God says. God says you live by faith. God says, you come in, you accept me, and I'll clean you up. You don't have to be clean before you come to church. And I think sometimes that's what we look at when we want to talk to to people about Jesus. We look at them and say, does that person be a good fit for Jesus? That's wrong. Jesus is a good fit for everybody. Because the ones that are the deepest in sin, the ones that we find the most repulsive, is the ones that Jesus needs the most. Paul looked at the Galatians, and they were trying to go back a little bit in the law. They were trying to, well, you know, you're breaking this law and you're breaking that law. And I want to pick up Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. And we're going to be reading quite a bit because Paul was pretty intense about the law and about what it meant versus faith. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Paul had a problem with Peter. And what was Peter doing? He was acting one way with the Gentiles and another way with the Jews. Because when people would look at him and the Jews were there, they said, well, you're having dinner with these Gentiles. For before that a certain came from James, and he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which are circumcision. So the Jews come, and all of a sudden, Peter didn't want to be seen with the Gentiles. So he was trying to go back under the law. And Paul called him out on it. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch as Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation, because he was trying to put them back under the law. The law that was given in Deuteronomy, that you can only eat certain things, you can only do certain things certain times. But when I saw that they had walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew invest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compel us the Gentiles to live as the Jews do? He said, if you're being a Jew and you're not living according to the Jews because you're living under faith, because you put your trust in God, why are you asking the Gentiles to go back and do the things that the Jews did when you don't even do it? He's trying to put them back under the law. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not of works of that law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What does that mean? You're not going to get to heaven based on your works. You're not going to get to heaven based on the law. You're not going to get to heaven being the best person that you can. The best person in the world on one side, a sinner that proclaimed Jesus Christ on the right side, the guy on the right's going to heaven. That's the only way to get there. You can't live a life that's good enough. So if we can't live a life that's good enough for us to get to heaven on our own, why are we looking for good people to tell God's word to? Because we know that they can't live good enough to get to heaven. There's only one way through to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, and that's by faith. So that's for putting our trust and our belief in Him. Because no one has worked good enough to get into heaven. And I think sometimes that's what we try to do. When we try to work good enough to get to heaven, where's Christ in we? Because we is me and you. We is not me and you in Christ. Because that's the way it should be. Because if we is me, you, and Christ, then we have faith. And by faith we follow the Spirit. But while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, and therefore Christ is the minister of God, of sin, God forbid. For if I build against thee, which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. He's saying if you're going back to trying to live under the law that the Jews had, you're regressing. Because what you're saying is, I don't need Jesus. I can live under the laws now that I'm saved. And that's completely wrong. And that's what Paul was arguing about. For I thought the law am dead to the law, that I might live to God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, whom loved me and gave Himself for me. It's about Him giving. And it's about Him changing our lives. And it's about Him guiding our steps. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now those are pretty strong words. He's saying if you can get justified by the law, Christ died in vain. That's how important it was that Paul wanted to get it out, that we're not under the law, we're under faith. O foolish Gentiles, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. This only would I learn, you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing faith. How did you get saved? Was it by the law? Did a preacher come and start talking about the law and pricked your heart and you got saved? No, you got saved by the Spirit. The law has nothing. Didn't give you the Spirit. Did the law free you, or did Christ's death free you from your sins? Did the law give you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that leads you and guides you and directs you? Did the law put in your heart when you know that you've done something wrong and you say, wait, I don't need to do that, I need to change? Is that the law or the Holy Spirit? That's the Holy Spirit that is sent by God through faith, that we believe in Him, we trust in Him, we put our future in Him. That's the faith. For the just shall live by faith. Focus on faith and following. If we put as much emphasis on faith and following as we do the law, where would we be? Because you can't follow the law, but you can follow Jesus. You can follow the faith. You can follow the Holy Spirit. The law leads us to judge. And we're not supposed to judge. God's the only one that's judged. God made us, and He's the one that's going to judge us. So if we look so much at the law, we're saying, well, this person mowed the grass on Sunday. What am I doing? I'm judging. And it's not for me to judge, because I didn't make anybody. God made us all, and He would judge us all. But now if we live by faith, because it's through faith that Abraham got the promise. It's through faith that Abraham got the promise of salvation yet to come 430 years later. The law shows us right and wrong. It shows us that there's no way to make it to heaven without Christ. Because what the law is, a school teacher, it shows us that we're never going to be good enough to get to heaven without Christ. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now that ye are made perfect by the flesh? We begin in the Spirit, and now we want to regress back to the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you, the Spirit that works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by hearing in faith? How many miracles, how many prayers have you guys got answered? Now I want you to stop and think of it. Did any of those get answered because of the law? They all got answered by faith. That's all we need, is have faith. All the miracles were done by faith. The people that give you the message of Christ, did they give it to you through the law, or did they give it to you through faith? Let me tell you what God has done for me. That's a statement of faith. Because nobody can argue with that. It doesn't matter whether you're an upstanding person or you're the lowest person on earth. When somebody says, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me, that's an act of faith, because I'm telling you what my faith has accomplished. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now ye therefore that he which are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham. Where this says God's children and children of Abraham. And the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached by the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Through Abraham's seed, all nations are blessed. Through Abraham's faith. And you can go, Jesus is a direct descendant of Abraham, so you can follow the lineage there. Through Abraham, we're all blessed because of the simple act of faith of Abraham. And I'm sure all of you know what Abraham done. He had two children, one of a slave and one of a free woman. And the free woman was a promise to Abraham that he would have a child late in his life named Isaac. And then the Lord said, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. And Abraham had faith that what God was doing was right. He couldn't understand it at the time, I don't believe. But he had faith in God. And he said, God, if you want me to do this, this is where I'm going. And it was accounted as righteousness. He was willing to give it all up for God because he had faith that God was good. So when they which were by faith are blessed with a faithful Abraham, so as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Can't just keep half the laws. You want to live by the law? That's fine. But you can't keep 99% of them. If you break one law, you're accursed. So see, by faith, we don't have to worry about that. Because if we try to live under the law, it is impossible. But through faith, it is possible. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. What is faith? Somebody said it was the evidence of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is trust. Do we have trust that we should in God? Or do we sometimes worry? Do we have faith that God will see our nation through its challenges? Do we have faith that God will see us through our challenges? Do we have faith that God will see Brother Lee through his challenges? Do we have the trust? Because, see, we don't know how God made the world. He spoke it into existence. There's a lot of things that we don't know. He says you only see it half now. We don't know what heaven's going to be like. We know a lot of things about it. We know there's not going to be any sorrow there. There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be any death. There's not going to be any devil. But we have the faith that when we get there, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be beyond words. Our faith is putting our salvation. We have faith in Jesus. We're putting our salvation there. We're putting our everything on the line, our trust for Him. And the law is not of faith, but of the man that doeth them shall live by them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He took our place. He removed the curse from us. And when God sees me, when God sees you, and we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have faith and our trust in Him, He doesn't see the sins that I committed. He doesn't see the sins that you've committed. He sees His Son, Jesus Christ, that lived perfect and shameless and blameless, the only sinless person, and it's accounted for us as holiness. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that blessing of Abraham might come through the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. A lot of things about promises and faith and spirits, because that's where we put our trust. If we didn't trust in Jesus, where would we be? If we didn't trust in Jesus for our salvation, where would we be? We'd be hopeless. And if we trust in Jesus for our salvation, why don't we trust Jesus with everything? Our finances, our health, our children. If we trust Jesus with the most sacrificial thing that we have, our salvation, our eternity, why don't we put our trust in Him for everything? Brethren, I speak unto the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man denieth or addeth to it. Now Abraham and his seed were the promise of what was made. He saith not to the seeds as many, but as of one, and to thy seeds which is Christ. And this I say, the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which is 430 years after, cannot disannul, and it should be made promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God give it to Abraham by a promise. Therefore, the serveth the law, it was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now there's one mediator. It's not a mediator of one, but is a God of one. It is a law against the promise of God. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, very righteously should have been given by the law. But the Scriptures hath concluded all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So we're all already sinners when we first come into this world. And there's only one way, and that's by the faith. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up to the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be fulfilled by faith. The law done something very important. It showed us the need of Christ. It showed us that we couldn't make it on our own. I don't mean to undermine the law, because the law was very important. The law was pointing us towards Christ. The law was pointing us towards faith. But after the faith we come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. But for as many of you as have been baptized in Christ, ye have put on Christ. And we started talking a little bit about the perfect person to invite to church. I want to stop just a minute, and I want to say this very slowly. For ye, after all the children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have been put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's not the Jews, not the Greeks, not the heathens. There is neither free nor bond. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all in one Christ. There's not rich people. There's not poor people. There's not black people. There's not white people. There's not females. There's not males. We're all one in Christ, and it's been put on. So when we look at a person and we say, you know, I need to share a gospel with them, or maybe the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I need to reference God, just to kind of talk to them a little bit about it. Just remember, God is not a respecter of person. He sees their soul. He doesn't see black, yellow, white, short, tall. He sees their soul. And that's what he's telling us here. We're neither Jew nor Greek, and bond or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ. And if ye be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed according to the promise. Well, the Bible, God's Word's very unique, because it's like a road. When you go down a road, what keeps you in the center? Got a line on the right and a line on the left. And as long as you stay between those lines, you're in the road, right? Bible's the same way. Bible will have a right side and a left side. And what's in between is where God wants you to be. And we talked a lot about the laws, and we're not under the law. But does that mean that we can live ever how we want to live? No, it doesn't. If we look at Galatians, just a couple over, Galatians 5:13, just want to read this. For brethren, you have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We've got liberty. We're not under the law anymore. We're under faith. But still, we're expected to act a certain way. For all the law was fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say when, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're not under the letter of the law, but we're under the Spirit that leads us, guides us. The Holy Spirit will lead you, it will guide you, it will direct you. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like of these. I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we want to embrace, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And if they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We can't do anything we want. God leads us and He guides us and directs us. But it is just that. He leads us. He guides us. He directs us. There's no I in it. Too many times we think that, look what I done. All we done was show up. Say, okay, all we done was show up and say, Lord, forgive me. That's the only thing that we've done. Jesus Christ done everything else for us. And when we truly find out that we can do nothing on our own, then we can truly appreciate what the Lord has done for us. He done something that we couldn't do on our own. We couldn't find salvation on our own. We couldn't live a perfect life. But through Jesus Christ, we can be sanctified. We can be forgiven. We can be like children. And we can call Him Father. Our holiness is as filthy rags. If we remember nothing else of this sermon, our holiness is as filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64:6. So if anybody thinks that they're living a spotless life, they're right where they belong, they can do no better, they can be no more righteous, remember Isaiah 64:6. Our best is as filthy rags. This time we'll have the song of invitation. If you need to find Jesus, or if you need to reconnect with Him, the altar's always open. The leaders of the church and me will also come and pray with you at any time you need.
Number 312. Lord, I'm coming on.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for the country that we live in, Lord. You've blessed us, Lord. You've given us a a fine building to come and to praise and worship you, Lord. You give us freedoms to come and praise you and talk about you whenever we want to, Lord. And Lord, we're truly thankful. Lord, we pray that you would keep us safe until we meet again, Lord. We pray a special prayer for Brother Lee, Lord. Lord, we miss him, and we need his tutelage, and we need his leading here, Lord. We pray that you would keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Here's the card.
Thank you.